T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Good morning. How are you today? I want to start off talking about a promise that I would hope there is good reason to believe is underway in terms of its fulfillment. It was a promise made by the president yesterday. And I hope we're able to celebrate that this actually happens and that this will happen very soon. President promised yesterday evening, ISIS will be gone by tonight, as in last night. Have we heard anything additional on this today, Charles, John? The president held up a pair of maps to reporters he claimed shows the dramatic reduction of the Islamic State's presence in Syria since his election in 2016. And there's no question about it. ISIS is on the run. They are, as an entity, as a political entity with real estate, they're on the decline. Now, we can have another conversation about where these people go once they're defeated, because I guarantee you, they're not going to be quiet. They're going to resurface somewhere. But for right now, not having property, not having real estate is an awesome thing. So the president unfolded some maps printed on the same page, one on top of the other, in response to a question asking if he had reversed his Syria policy. One image the president showed depicted the region in 2016 had splotches of red, the president said marked the various areas ISIS controlled in the Middle East country. He said when this administration began, this was a mess. Now, he pointed to the bottom map, showing the presence of ISIS today. There is no red. In fact, there's actually a tiny spot, which will be gone by tonight. I'm sharing this because I fully hope and expect this is going to happen. And I think it's time for us to celebrate that once this is actually fulfilled. Now, again, we can have a conversation in the future about where these folks may resurface, because I guarantee they will. As you know, the president announced in December he was going to pull thousands of U.S. troops from Syria. And a lot of people expressed concerns about this. Also pulling troops from Afghanistan. Lots of criticism. Ultimately, the president agreed to leave 400 troops in Syria, reiterating that decision yesterday, saying two groups of 200 troops will remain in Syria, stationed in different parts of the country. These U.S.-backed Syrian forces seized control of an ISIS encampment Tuesday after hundreds of fighters surrendered overnight. This is a major advance. So far, we don't have confirmation of the final defeat. The last village held by ISIS in Syria. Let's hope and pray this happens. In fact, Charles has just handed this to me, that the U.S. is in the middle of searching some tunnels a day after seizing most of that last pocket of land held by Islamic State militants. Going through tunnels, the final outpost held by ISIS in eastern Syria. Right now, there are no signs of battle. So far, government officials are saying there are still pockets of militants who have not surrendered. So I want to encourage you to pray into the situation that this comes to an end as we re-engage for the next battle. Let's hope and pray it's not a battle on American soil. I want to go totally opposite to what I just shared with you, a global story, a story with implications for this country and for the world, a terrorist threat that hopefully is losing steam because they're losing real estate, to a story about a family, a couple, and their cat. I know it's going to sound crazy, this transition, but I want to share for a couple of reasons. One of them, it's a cool story. This Florida couple praising their pet cat for saving their lives after the animal's cries alerted them to carbon monoxide filling their home. As an aside, I have a dear friend. Her parents died from carbon monoxide poisoning several years ago. Heartbreaking story. Paul and Leona Jones rushed inside their home. From a heavy rainstorm last Wednesday, they forgot to turn off their car after pulling into their garage. They had no idea the poisonous gas filling their home overnight until Bella the cat started crying. If she hadn't cried and woken my husband up, we would have never known. We would have slept through it, never awakened. This car ran for about 8 hours, with Leona admitting, I just didn't hear the engine running and didn't hit the button. At 1 a.m., Paul woke to Bella's cries and pulled the cat out from under the bed. They had no idea. Poisonous gas was filling their home overnight until they heard the cries of that cat. But we know the outcome of this story. Fortunately, because of the cries of the cat figured out something was wrong. And as I've heard this described, it's very likely the cat just detected something just wasn't right in the atmosphere. Very, very sensitive. Very, very sensitive. The guy collapsed on the bed. When Leona woke up, she was weak from inhaling the odorless gas and was barely able to call 911. Firefighters arrived. They gave the couple oxygen, rushed them to the hospital. Leona said Paul was in bad shape when firefighters arrived. He was close to death. They still had some muscle weakness and confusion for a while, otherwise okay. But now they've placed a reminder sign in their garage to prevent future mistakes. The cat's getting some extra treats, which is awesome. I think it's important to share this information from the CDC about ways to avoid carbon monoxide poisoning. Another important takeaway from the story, have a mechanic check the exhaust system of your car or truck every year. A small leak in the exhaust system can lead to a buildup of CO inside the car. Two, never run your car or truck inside a garage attached to a house, even with the garage door open. Always open the door to a detached garage to let in fresh air when you run a car or truck inside. And if you drive a car or SUV with a tailgate, when you open the tailgate, open the vents or windows to make sure air is moving through. If only the tailgate's open, CO from the exhaust will be pulled into the car or SUV. May not have known that. These things may save your life.
Give him an.
You know, the month of March, it is getting mad. Make sure you leave some time for College Hoops and the first annual Wing Jam. Join WBT and our friends at WFNZ this Friday, 1 to 4 p.m. at the Harris Teeter Doghouse, powered by Coca-Cola for the Wing Jam 2019. Get a load of this deal. $5. Wings from some of Charlotte's best restaurants with a cash bar available to help you cool down from those wings. Wing Jam 2019, it's tomorrow, 1 to 4 p.m. Harris Teeter Doghouse, powered by Coca-Cola. Back on the Vince Coakley radio program, I've got to tell you a story about that carbon monoxide story. Now, this is, you know, there was no danger associated with this, but I have to tell you a crazy story that happened to me. You know, my typical, you know, trip when I visit my parents, And I go to Kentucky to visit them generally for a day. I fly in the morning and come back in the afternoon. First thing I do, there's a restaurant I go to almost every time and have breakfast. Well, let me tell you what happened, because this ties in with that story, and I can understand why this couple forgot to shut off their car. I'm still not used to these push-button ignitions. I'm not used to that. I'm used to a key. So I pulled into the restaurant. I got all of my stuff out of the car, because what I normally do is I stop. I have a devotional time and breakfast at this restaurant. I go into the restaurant. I sit down. And I realized I left something in the car. What do you think I found when I got back to the car?
You were locked out again?
No.
Okay. I was just wondering.
Not locked out this time.
Okay.
The car, I left it running.
Oh.
I had no idea that thing was so quiet. These cars are so quiet, I didn't realize I left the thing on. One of the reasons I share this, too, because there's some of you may have these cars. And especially if you are older, I just want to appeal to you, please make sure you shut off your car. And make sure you have a carbon monoxide detector as well. That's also important. But I'm just saying, I forgot to shut off the car. So I can understand a person who's older having that very same issue. And in that circumstance, in a garage, that could be deadly. So thought I'd share that humorous story about me. Go ahead, get a laugh at my expense. Let's go out to Keith in Rock Hill. Good morning, Keith.
Good morning, Mr. Vance. How are you, sir?
All right, sir.
What are you driving? A 1962 Dodge Dart? Push button start.
Good shot, man. I like it.
No, you put a post on your Facebook page, I think day before yesterday, about Pastor Greg Locke.
Yes.
And what he was talking about was children using profanity at an alarming rate. And I'd seen that post before you posted it, but it's a much deeper problem than just that. It goes to the parents in so many cases. I hear people walking around in a grocery store or in whatever store. I'm not going to say Walmart, but because you expect it there. But, no, if you walk around in other stores, the parents are using such foul language. These kids are just repeating what their parents hear.
Well,
it's the normality.
And if I remember correctly, this wasn't really so much about profanity. Profanity was about talking back and disrespect toward parents and elders. That was
It is. Yeah, it was. But the reality...
Yeah, but I get what you're saying, too.
Yeah, that if your parents show no respect towards anybody else, those kids are not going to show it either. They just don't know to. I mean,
yeah.
You know, my father's famous words was, if I said yeah to somebody, he said, yes, what? you know, which always preceded by sir or ma'am.
Uh-huh. That's good.
Then I got the switch. But, you know, that post made me think about that kind of stuff, too. And I remember me and my wife 30 years ago at a grocery store, a local grocery store. We were picking up our groceries, and a lady up in front of us used a profane word, and it was like damn or hell. I mean, it was just what I call minor cuss words by today's standards. And the manager walked up to her, grabbed her buggy, and said, ma'am, we do not need your business at this store.
Oh, my goodness.
And sent her out the door.
Wow.
You know, send her out the door. And I mean, we don't have any of that kind of stuff nowadays. You can say or do anything you want to. You can get mad at people. You get upset at people. You fly off the handle about things that don't, what we used to say, did amount to a hill of beans. And, we've lost our composure in public. I think
yep.
That's what a big portion of it is.
I think the big picture, what you're talking about, Keith, and I do appreciate your call, we've got to move on here, is a general loss of civility. I think that's the general headline here. It's the language, it's the attitude, it's all of it. And like you said, this one of the things I heard years ago, and it stays with me, what a lot of the things that kids pick up, it's not so much what is taught, it is what is caught. Remember that. It's not what's taught, it's what's caught. good reminder for all of us. Tim in Charlotte, good morning.
Hey, you know, I will never downplay carbon monoxide poisoning because it's very serious. And, I mean, I change my meter out in my house all the time because I have gas that runs, you know, the oven and the house and keeps it warm. And it's no joke, but, you know me, Vince, I joke around a little bit. And I'm going to tell you right now, first and foremost, you need to go out and buy Uncle Buck's car, okay? If you're not familiar with Uncle Buck, shame on you, and you never got an education. But Uncle Buck's car backfired like every 30 seconds, so you would know that it was on. Oh, so is that your car exploding out there? I'm just looking out for you because you know what? You don't want to be that guy who has his car stolen in Kentucky. And you're going to be like, Vince, we will take care of you. I promise you. And then you come back with a tattoo that we have built.
Tim, you've got us running here with a great line. Thanks very much for your call and adding some humor to this, man. That is great. By the way, in reference to the previous caller, I have a friend. In fact, I was just talking to this friend this morning, and this kid cusses like a sailor. I mean, it is way over the top. And he's communicated this more than once to me. He would love, seriously, wants me it drives him up the wall that I don't, is what it comes down to. And basically said, we're going to have to get you up to speed. It's like, no thank you. I think you cuss more than enough for both of us. I had another friend like that in college who tried to push my buttons, knew I was a believer, and was just hated the idea that I didn't do it. Didn't use all of these over-the-top obscenities and tried everything. Just tried to push the buttons. Doesn't work. Hopefully that will continue for the next 50 years. Any case, coming up, we're going to talk about the issue of free speech. The president signing a broad executive order dealing with free speech. I'm going to tell you one of the major reasons why our liberties are under threat. We're going to talk about this coming up. Also, we're going to talk about the sheriff of Mecklenburg County and a little bit of racial tension developing. Stay with us. Back in the Vince Coakley radio program, I'm going to do a little cross-promotion here. For those of you who are not aware, this program airs on News Talk 1110 WBT in Charlotte, but it also airs on 106.3 WRD in the upstate of South Carolina, out of Greenville. So we've merged a couple of audiences here, but I want to bring those of you in the upstate especially, you're already aware of this, but I want to bring those of you who are north of the border into our 2019 Bracket Challenge on 106.3 WRD. It's not only an opportunity to have some fun, but also to win some prizes. Prizes for each round. Here's all you have to do. Go to 1063WRD.com and play the Bracket Challenge. This will give you the opportunity, as I said, not only have some fun, but win some prizes. And if everything works like it's supposed to, you can also see how I'm doing. So you can get a good laugh and see how terrible my picks are. Just wanted to put it out there. Do you have both of those cuts ready, by the way, John, about the issue we were discussing? I want to tell you about a couple of developing news stories that we need to be on top of this morning. One of them, as you know, the ongoing investigation of the plane crashes that have occurred with the 737 MAX. Just a few minutes ago, we've learned that the Justice Department prosecutors have issued multiple subpoenas as part of an investigation into Boeing's Federal Aviation Administration certification and marketing of those planes, the 737 MAX. The criminal investigation in its early stages started after the 2018 crash of Lion Air in Indonesia. Criminal investigators sought information from Boeing on safety and certification procedures, including training manuals for pilots, along with how the company marketed the new aircraft. It's not clear what possible criminal laws could be at issue in the probe. Among the things the investigators are looking to is the process by which Boeing itself certified the plane as safe and the data it presented to the FAA about that self-certification. Remember, we discussed this the other day with Mary Schiavo. So this is a new development. Multiple subpoenas have been issued now in a criminal probe. This is not civil. This is a criminal probe. That is a new development this morning. Coming up, we're going to talk about freedom of speech, an executive order by the president. I want to come closer to home, talk about an issue that relates to policing here in Mecklenburg County. Some of you are already familiar with this, but we had a situation where, and I certainly thought this was very unusual, the Mecklenburg County Sheriff's Department decided to do a traffic stop in Cornelius. Cornelius. Now, first off, I thought it was unusual, the Sheriff's Department doing traffic stops, period. I thought that was entirely something done by the police department. But not so. Sheriff's Department is going to get more aggressive about this. And let's give you some background. The people in this particular area, let's just be very straightforward about this. This is a very, let's just say, wealthy area along Jaton Road. And the honest perspective here is there are some who feel like they've been picked on. That's how they feel. You can also put this juxtaposition of what seems like a targeting of a pretty wealthy area, and by contrast, some other conversations I've had with people who are wondering why the sheriff seems to be pandering to illegal immigrants and their neighborhoods and communities. That's also added into the mix. So to respond to this, the sheriff actually went to a town hall meeting, a town board meeting on Monday. And it was a very interesting exchange that took place from Gary McFadden, the sheriff. Here is just one of those pieces of audio.
If they speed, we will continue to write the tickets. We are a law enforcement agency. I will protect each and every one of you as long as I have this job. You have to understand that. You can ask me all the questions, but what if I ask you the questions? How would that go? Is it really about this? Is it really about this? Is it really about this? Or is it about privilege?
So, there's the question. Is it about law enforcement? Is it about the idea of targeting potential speeders, traffic violations up in the Lake Norman area, Jaton Road? Or is it about privilege? You have another clip on this as well, John. Let's listen to that one.
This is something that we have always been doing, but the residents of Mecklenburg County have been unaware of the presence of the sheriff's office. But we are more visible now under my leadership.
More visible. So there are some. And I think where this goes is into an immediate conversation, not only about privilege, but about race. And the implication seemed to be that this is part of the current here. I want to know what you think about this, especially if you live in that area. How does this strike you in that conversation? Let's go out to a call from Ben in Monroe. Good morning, Ben. And we have lost Ben. Oh, well. And you know that I've expressed concern about this for quite some time. And I don't care what the leadership is, Republican, Democrat. I think we really have to go the extra mile to make sure that we're not fanning flames. And sometimes I wonder whether that's what's happening in our political process. It's about reaching a certain base of people and getting them to cheer but undermining community support overall. Let us go out to a call next from, I believe it is Ian in Harrisburg. Good morning, Ian.
Good morning, Vince. Thanks for accepting my call again. It's always a pleasure to speak with you.
Same here.
I'll just talk about the immigration thing and all that. I just would like to say I am a legal immigrant. I have come to this country, and I have worked hard to get where I'm at. And the idea that people can just come in here and say that you are going to let us in, you are going to treat us like citizens, and we're going to jump the line. A lot of Hispanics are very, very, very angry about that because they feel like they've been cheated. And I can tell you that many Hispanics voted for Trump. In fact, more Hispanics voted for Trump than for Mitt Romney because of the immigration issue. And that's not including the fact that most of them are pro-life, traditional marriage Christians. So the idea that these people are all going to be Democrats is so far off base. And in fact, the Democrats may be shooting themselves in the foot by even proposing that we let them stay.
Yep, you're absolutely right about this. Always great to talk to you, Ian. And then I think as it relates to this local issue, you know, again, there seems to be a bending over backwards for non-citizens. That's what it feels like. That call just so resonates in my heart. And the reason it does, it's not an angry, bitter, vengeful person looking for revenge. Just somebody sharing his heart and saying, look, this is what I experienced. And to the extent that that's there, that's not good at all. It's not. And there's no excuse for it. None. Let Vince Coakley go on record by saying, to the extent there is such a thing expressed by people as privilege, you don't need to put a racial color in front of it. To the extent that is expressed, it's abhorrent. Let's go out to Jim Puckett on the line. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Vince. How are you doing?
All right, sir.
I have an interesting perspective on this, having represented that area for about 20 years and funded the Sheriff's Department and being a good friend of Gary McFadden's for over 25 years. I think I agree with one of the questions you're bringing up is this targeted by the sheriff for political reasons? And I think it probably is. I will not deny that there's not those who feel that they're privileged, but I think this is sending a message to Sheriff McFadden's base that he's going to kind of get even for what many of them feel have been unfair over the years, and he has a right to do that. But the problem I have is for years I've had the Sheriff's Department talk about being underfunded, understaffed, to do the job that they have to do, which are serve summons and run the jail and run the courts. And if Sheriff McFadden has enough manpower to go out and write tickets in areas that there are already police officers to do that, then he is either overstaffed or he's deploying his people to make to send the message. Either one of those is wrong.
That's a very interesting perspective that you offer there, Jim. And that's one of the immediate thoughts that came to my mind. It's like, if we're doing law enforcement here, is this the main responsibility of the Sheriff's Department? You know, they used to be a Charlotte, you know, at one time, there was a Mecklenburg County Police Department, if I remember correctly, right?
Correct.
And they were merged to have the Charlotte-Mecklenburg Police Department. So if you've got the police department doing law enforcement, and is there not, again, if you're doing redundancies here, I have to question, why are we having the Sheriff's Department getting involved in this kind of thing? I think it's a fair question.
And it clearly, I think, puts a divide within the community. Jaton Road is a four-lane entrance into a private, you know, development. it's not a dangerous road. Are there people speeding there? Yes. They're speeding on all types of roads across Mecklenburg County. So, you know, that is not one that has a lot of pedestrians crossing it, et cetera. So it's not a dangerous road from a pedestrian point of view. So I think it does make a visual point and a political point, perhaps, or at least people are going to see that. And I would think the sheriff would be in tuned enough to realize that might be the optics.
Yep.
Maybe should choose something otherwise. But I'm back to the Cornelius Police Department has the right to not only police their roads, but the extraterritorial jurisdiction outside of Cornelius.
My goodness. Them. Yep, you're absolutely right. We're out of time here, and I appreciate the points you've raised here. And again, I extend the invitation. Gary McFadden's welcome on this program. I've known him for a long time. Love to talk to him. More of your calls coming up.
Vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.